God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. The Lord said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman, and welcome to A Disciple's View. So President Trump said Liz Cheney should be taken in handcuffs, placed against a wall, and shot by a firing squad. No, he didn't. CNN says he said that. She should be taken out and shot. Jonah Goldberg, who used to make sense, and I actually worked with, he was kind enough to join an editorial review board for one of my startup companies called Spin Spotter, said that's exactly what she said. Well, rather what Trump said, calling for an execution. There's something obviously wrong, but there's something brutally unanimous. The media is nearly 100% corrupt in one direction. Why? What President Trump said is something that's expressed in songs like Fortunate Son by Creedence Clearwater Revival. It ain't me, it ain't me, I ain't the fortunate one. It ain't me, I ain't no senator's son. John Fogerty expressed a sentiment that a lot of anti-war people express, that I think a lot of people can understand and to which I think they can relate in that song, Fortunate Son. He's talking about people in Washington, D.C. who are happy to send you off to war, but they're not going. And President Trump said this very clearly. I mean, in Trumpian ways. He doesn't always speak as clearly as he can or should. Here's the poll quote. She wanted to go. She wanted to stay in Syria. I took them out. He's meaning the troops. She wanted to stay in Iraq. I took them out. I mean, if we're up to her, we'd be in 50 different countries. She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle, standing there with 9 barrels shooting at her. Okay, let's see how she feels about it, you know, when the guns are trained on her face. You know, they're all war hawks when they're sitting in Washington in a nice building saying, oh, gee, well, let's send 10,000 troops right into the mouth of the enemy. When you're put in front of a firing squad, Jonah Goldberg, CNN, others, you don't get to shoot back. You're not given a rifle. The Twitter files proved in our country that the government censors Americans, but it proved out something so much less understood and so much more vital. There is an official narrative. It is produced out of Washington, D.C. It is the approved narrative. People who depart from the approved narrative will lose access, or in the case of us little people, will lose their social media accounts. There is no way I am able to believe that this doesn't extend in the newsrooms. But let's just think through this together. They were willing to pressure Twitter and Facebook and others to censor the facts about the COVID vaccines, which is that they were never vaccines. They're not now, they never were. That lockdowns work. Everyone knew they didn't. That masks were effective. They're not. Everyone knows this. Et cetera, ad nauseum. Hunter Biden laptop, et cetera. But they would never do it in newsrooms. We'll do it in social media, but not newsrooms. Why would anyone believe that? So why is the official narrative so against this man? Well, it goes down to this. He's not owned. I'm late to the party on that. Way late. He's not predictable. He's owned by some factors that aren't always to his credit. I was really excited to hear Tucker Carlson ask President Trump about his faith. And I want so much to hear a better answer It's an okay answer, but in a way it's also funny, and I've grown to think of it as a little bit endearing. So President Trump told Tucker Carlson about his walk with the Lord in this sound clip here. Oh, so President Trump was talking with Tucker Carlson, and we don't have this soundbite. And what he said is that he's not a perfect Christian. He tries, and he went on to say, but I've got great evangelical support. I have great support from evangelicals. Some say the best. Many people say I did the best ever for evangelicals. Very Trumpian in that regard. And he did not come out and say, well, I've changed since Butler. I've reached a point of humility. But it was there, the humility, when he spoke recently about that time that Butler, Pennsylvania changed him, almost being shot. He said being knocked to the ground by what seemed like the hand of God. But even in there, he was having that ego thing that President Trump does. I've got great support from evangelicals. They say, I don't know the Bible as well as some people should. And this pastor said, okay, he's kind of rough. He doesn't know the details of the Bible, but he's going to bring us to the promised land. These are President Trump's words, as I'm paraphrasing. He's going to bring us to the promised land. He's the only one brave enough and strong enough and very Trumpian, very much ego-driven. He's very much a creature of his ego. And what if he's right? What if God gave him that ego on purpose? What if that's the equipping? What if it's afterwards that God's going to say, hey, I'm going to humble you now, Donald. Now you're going to come to me in full. Right now, I need you to be ferociously egotistical. And you're going to be humbled. And maybe it's when the president dies. May it be many years from now, decades from now. Maybe it's then that President Trump sees as just Donald in front of Almighty God that, oh my gosh, I did nothing. I accomplished only what you let me accomplish. Maybe it's then. It's simply not just the media that's corrupt, although they're corrupt along with us, along with many, many election systems. Corruptly saying safest, most secure election in history. They said it lockstep. They said it unanimously, just like they're pretending that President Trump said Liz Cheney should be taken out by firing squad and shot. He didn't say anything of the sort. Our elections are far from safe. They're far from secure. This is about the Colorado Secretary of State, Gina Gruswald, tried to cover up how her office leaked passwords for voting systems until she was called out.
This is not the first time that your office has made mistakes that have damaged voters' confidence in our elections. In 2022, your office sent out mailers to 30,000 non-citizens inviting them to register to vote. They, of course, are not eligible to register to vote. That same year, your office used Colorado's ballot tracking system to send messages to specific Coloradans encouraging them to vote when, in fact, they had already voted, causing confusion that had to be cleaned up by the county clerks. And now this leak of the voting system passwords. Given your office's repeated errors that have damaged confidence in our elections, which you say is paramount, will you resign?
Absolutely not, Kyle. And I just want to, you're unfairly characterizing and leaving out some crucial information. We came out immediately and said a postcard had been sent out to people who are ineligible. The postcard clearly stated that someone had to be a U.S. citizen. No one tried to register from that group of people. We were actively tracking it. And it became a situation where there no one registered.
So the series of errors always go in one direction. They never go in a tightening of the rules, which would be as easy as a national holiday for voting. And I'm a proponent of this. Make it a national holiday. It's a federal holiday. Everything's closed. And you need transportation to the polls. I'm in. Let's fund it with tax dollars. It's a hair of what other things cost us. I'm in. Train rides are free that way. Buses, shuttle vans, do it. People can't afford ID. I'll pay for it. I'll pay the tax happily. Happily. So we can have done with this pretense that we aren't sitting up in a system that is designed to be corrupted. Election officials in York County, Pennsylvania report that, like other counties, they've also received thousands of potentially fraudulent voter registration forms and mail-in ballot applications from a third-party group. First Lancaster County and now York County.
York County's Office of Elections recently received a large delivery containing thousands of voter registration forms and mail-in ballot applications from a third-party group.
It's not unusual to get large stacks of voter registrations or large stacks of requests for mail-in ballots. It's just this was an overabundance of registrations from one particular organization.
This comes after Lancaster County officials announced they are investigating approximately 2,500 voter registration forms for potential fraud. The batch of applications, which had false names, incorrect addresses, and other discrepancies, is being traced back to a large-scale canvassing operation.
Large-scale canvassing operation from a third-party group, collecting ballot registration forms in the hundreds and thousands. There is a technique in leftist politics. It's called the Cloward-Piven strategy. You take down a Republican form of democracy by flooding its systems. The election system runs on ballots, flood it with ballots. It runs on registration, flood it with registrations. It runs on immigration, flood it with immigration. Now, I started this segment sounding a little frustrated, and I am frustrated. I find it deeply, deeply, deeply hurtful to watch people, again, who are paid to pretend to be bringing you news, telling you that President Trump has asked that Liz Cheney should be taken in handcuffs, put up against a wall, and shot by a firing squad, because that's how that process works. What he said is that before she sends more young people to war, she and her father, she should go try it for herself. She should go see what it's like. Be given a rifle. Go see what it's like to be shot at. You don't have to agree with that sentiment. You can say, hey, look, I served. I don't think my politicians should go do it. They're not going to be good at fighting war. I don't want them on my six. Fair enough. But remember this. Those same people, if Kamala Harris wins, within moments, will tell you this. Now, this was the safest, most secure election in history. If President Trump wins, and when Democrats come and say, too many irregularities, selected, not elected, that same media will say, Republicans have seized on calls from Democrats to investigate election irregularities, to suggest Democrats are trying to stop the legitimate transfer of power they've seized. The lies always go in one direction. And what direction is that? It's an ungodly direction. It's an ungodly direction that has taken our cities and made laws like it's legal to steal. We were a nation with laws inspired by the Ten Commandments and many other sources. Federalist and Non-Federalist Papers will show you the great thought process the founders went through. I think that they were inspired by God's work in creating our country. So every one of these networks that backs Democrats is also backing make it legal to steal. As long as it's below $1,000. Think of this, please, as you're making a decision for whom to vote. For me, I'm not going to vote the way my enemy wants me to vote. Satan is my enemy. I believe, and I'll try to defend this when we come back, I believe Jesus Christ would want us to vote. And I think he would also say, hey, here's a way to measure your vote. I think Jesus Christ, fully God, fully human, and now back to the triune God, I think he gave us a voter's guide. We'll talk about that. And the Harris Waltz faith director says, let's imagine our way to a better Bible. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I believe Jesus Christ would vote. And let me try to make the case to you. Jesus, being part of the Godhead, the Word, of course, cautions us throughout Scripture to steward what God gives us, to be good stewards. Sometimes it's expressed as money, wise use of talents, expressed as gardens, life. We steward, we're managers, not owners. So we've been given a country where we get to vote. And Republican forms of democracies do run, when they are properly running, on the will of the people, expressed through the distributed powers. One can argue, and it's an easy argument to engage in because it is questionable to what degree that's a fact here, but there is at least the opportunity to vote, the privilege, the requirement, if we're going to be good stewards. If you were given a garden, let's say that you were blessed and you moved into a home with a beautiful garden. Maybe you didn't even build the garden. The garden existed, and let's say that it had fruit trees and it had tubers and starches and potatoes and carrots and some berries. Maybe it even had a fish pond, well-fed, fresh water coming in from it, and some fish that refreshed themselves. And you were given this as part of the property you purchased. And it came about that you looked at that and said, yeah, that's a lot of work. Let's let it grow over. We don't need it. So let's take care of the pond. And the fish died, began to stink. And the garden died and the weeds took it over. Would you have stewarded it well? No. You smell the stink of the fish. And that might annoy you. The garden might look dirty and that might annoy you. Can we cover the fences up so the neighbors don't see? And let's just till it all down. Let's just do that. Let's till it all down and replace it with grass so that our friends don't see when they come over. You could do that. What about when the food shortage came and there wasn't food? What then? I mean, you'd be hungry, you'd be regretful. Oh gosh, we should have worked on the garden. We should have been better stewards. So we have a garden, the garden of the United States. We can tend it in many ways. We're called to steward it. One of the ways we must steward it is to give the Republican form of democracy the water it requires to run well, and that is our votes. So I believe Jesus Christ would have voted. How would he have voted? In this election, there are many people who say, I can't stand either candidate. By the way, this is going to continue. I don't know when we're going to have a time where people are jazzed for both candidates. It's just not the way the system works anymore. So we have this choice. And we have a voter's guide. Simply look at who's the most godly candidate. I didn't say godly. I said most godly by way of their policies. You can make it super easy. President Trump is for life. Kamala Harris is for death. She's for death at the hands of needles forced into your arms, lest you're not allowed to work. President Trump, though he still pretends those so-called vaccines were good, he has promised, according to RFK Jr., to put him in charge of the National Institute of Health and the CDC and the FDA. And if that happens, I do believe that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will remove pharma's influence from there. I believe he'll do what he can to fire corrupt people such as Tony Fauci, who's retired, the highest paid retiree in the history of the federal government. I do believe he'll do that. Go to the issue of child mutilation, the mutilation of God's design, made in God's image. Kamala Harris wants to sign an executive order to force parents to stand by as their kids are sexually and chemically mutilated, or to go to prison for trying to stop it. President Trump does not support that. He wants a ban on this stuff being done to kids. In pursuit of getting young men to vote for her, Kamala Harris did not go on Joe Rogan's program, where she'd been invited for time immemorial to go on, where she'd reach more young men in 3 hours than she will this entire campaign. In fact, she'd reach more young men in 15 minutes of his podcast than she'll reach this entire campaign. Instead, they're running an ad. It's not an ad I want to play here. I played it on my podcast. It's sadly more of a visual ad. Okay, if you're listening with young children, careful, 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 please, careful. Give me about 30 seconds here in 3, 2, 1. This is an ad of a young man laying back on a couch, watching pornography on a cell phone, and, forgive me, pleasuring himself. And then a Republican comes in and says, "Stop!" And the young man protests, get out of here. He says, "I'm just going to sit here and make sure you don't finish illegally." Kamala Harris is saying she wants more young men to watch pornography, which destroys their minds and their souls and their ability to have good, loving relationships with wives. Because that stuff creates a pleasure pathway that wasn't designed into our minds, and it changes how young men feel about sex and what they expect in sexual contact. And it creates situations where most young women, 8 out of 10, have either been acted violently upon or have men ask, "Is it okay if I choke you?" Kamala Harris, the great defender of women, is promoting pornography, which leads to sex assault, rape, and absolutely, unequivocally drives demand for sex trafficking. The companies that produce this garbage know they're often getting videos of young girls being sexually assaulted, raped, and they run them anyway. Even after the young women beg them to take them down, they run them. Until a lawyer comes along and says, "Take him down or we'll sue you." These pornography companies purposely program their homepages to, within 3 to 5 views, start showing you same-sex activity. Everybody. Why? Because you're in a state of mind where your mind wants more and more and more extreme things. It's the same thing with drugs. It used to be that one joint is enough. Now it's a pot bong, a weed bong. Wine or whiskey in it, and you can't get enough. And then that's not enough. And you know the gateway drug theory. It's not a theory. It's a fact for many people. Not for everybody, but for many people. Same is true with pornography. I've seen the straight sex enough. Now I need more extreme things. This is what Kamala Harris is willing to do to gain the votes of young men, because she is unwilling to go appear on the Joe Rogan podcast, because she'd have to do it for a length of time which wouldn't allow her to remain within talking points. Jesus would vote. Would he vote for the woman who's running on a platform of more pornography for young men? She ran another ad. This is an ad where leering, sneering, smirking men are getting ready to go to the ballot box. Because remember, people vote in person. Well, except they don't, because the Democrats and the Mockingbird media are feverishly trying to turn us in to a forced mail-in voting country because they want a system designed for fraud. But in this ad, these men are standing outside and they're in their tough guy vest jackets. And one guy says to the other, "You voting for him?" And they're smirking, "You bet." And they look over at their wives. Their wives, who of course are oppressed and unable to seek a divorce because that's not legal. "And what about your wife?" "Well, she doesn't like him, but she's voting for him." And the misogynistic sweaty pigs nod, "Yeah. Otherwise, she knows what's coming. She knows she's going to get hand." So they go in, and then the women look at each other, and they're not smirking. First, as they're getting their ballots, they're pretending to smile. And then they catch each other's eyes. They're sad. They have to hide from their husbands. They're giving each other conspiratorial looks. And then one woman mouths, "Kamala," and the other woman nods. And then all around the room, women look over and notice, hey, the sisters are going behind their husband's back. And they're grinning, secretly though. And then comes the text. "Your ballot is secret. No one will know." Yeah, it's a double entendre. Of course it's about infidelity. No one will know. What's known is that God knows. He sees every motive. And God knows that Kamala Harris is willing to divide families in order to win. Jesus tells us to be great stewards of that which we've been given. Think of all the ways he describes this. The servants who invested the money that the master gave them and came back with more money. The servant who took the money and hid it in the ground and returned it. Think of who he compares to being a good steward. Those who hid it away or those who invested it. The investing, of course, is a metaphor for making disciples. For passing on the good word. For stewarding what you've been given. You've been given the gift of eternal life. Are you going to hide it in the ground? Or are you going to invest it in others? So Jesus teaches us to be good stewards. And he's given us the ultimate voter guide. The Bible's the ultimate voter guide. Because it's independent of candidate personality. It's independent of likability. King Solomon was the wisest man ever. Because God made him the wisest man ever. Because before Solomon became an arrogant man with his multiple wives, with his concubines, he had once loved a woman enough to write poetry about her, beautiful poetry about her. And then he became corrupted. You think of the finery of his dress, arrogance. And yet, there he was, King of Israel, who continued to do many godly things. Not perfect, far from it. There's a whole debate as to whether or not Solomon was saved. Of course, he was there before Lord Jesus. But God is merciful and always has been. There's a whole debate about this theologically. President Trump is not a perfect Christian. I don't know how far along his walk is. I would call him at best a baby Christian because he can't quote scripture. But the voter guide of the Bible doesn't say that people must be able to quote scripture to do God's will. You think of the Apostle Paul and as he began his work to convert people. People went to work right away in spreading the word when they only knew parts of it. They knew glimpses of it. They had little tiny portions of what Jesus said, and so they would rely on that, and they would attempt to make disciples based on that. Some of them didn't know about baptism. What is this baptism? Tell me about this. I need to do this. So Jesus would vote. He would tell us to vote. He would tell us that the Bible is the voter guide, that he, the word that became flesh, that dwelled amongst us, would say, "Did you not watch me? Did you not watch?" So how are you going to steward your vote? How are you going to steward your country? If you're confused at all, maybe we could just do this. Maybe you and I could picture together pregnant Mary. Made pregnant miraculously. by the hand of God. She'd not known a man. She's young and she's a teen. And she's standing there and the Holy Spirit is blessing her and the angel's there. In that scene, extra biblically, of course, insert Donald Trump. I think Trump would stand amazed. There's an angel here. Do what he says. What would Kamala Harris say? Oh, you belong at another rally. To the angel, you belong at another rally. To young Mary. No one can force you to carry that baby to term. We can do this secretly. I can show you how to abort it. Maybe we could think of it that way together. I'm Todd Herman. We'll come back under Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I've been making the case that Jesus would vote. And he would do that because he asks us to be good stewards of what we inherit. I use the metaphor of a garden. We didn't build the earth. This is our garden. It was better before the fall. It will be better in the new heaven and the new earth. My understanding in the new heaven and the new earth is we'll still be called to steward. It's part of serving the Lord. We manage his affairs. Things he lets us manage because he doesn't need us. He doesn't need anyone to manage anything. He does it for us. So we get to participate with him. Because I'm here to tell you, you get to know people really well when you work with them. Particularly toward a common goal that means something to you. My wife and I were never more tight together than when we fought for our little girl's survival against a system that was seeking to destroy her mentally and then physically. There was no daylight between us. The team of guys that I did SEAL Fit with, I was only there 12. The three who got through it, three of six got through the 50 hours. Those guys will be lifelong friends. I personally will never forget those gentlemen, Will, Brian, Connor, Teddy, Carlos. Picture them to this day, this moment. I'll reach out to them later. Because we went through something most people would never go through, would never want to go through, most sane people. So the Lord gives us an opportunity to work with him, to grow closer. That's my theory. I mean, he does ask us, and in fact, tell us to steward things, including our nation. Well, and of course, without worshiping the creation, because the earth is his creation, we are part of his creation, his masterpiece, that is mankind. We are told to steward the creation of the earth. That involves being good to the planet. This is apart from environmentalism. Environmentalism has been purposely veered into becoming worship of the creation rather than the creator. Everyone is built to worship something. It's in our DNA. God signs his work. We have a need for him. Satan knows that, so he gets in the way. Worship sex. Worship freedom. Worship the flag. Worship whales. So as we're thinking about in the closing days of this election, if you still haven't made your choice, or perhaps you have friends of yours who are environmentalists, and they've bought the lie that the Democrats are pro-environment, that they're literally saving the world for future generations, talk to them about whales. Yeah, whales. When I did morning radio in Seattle and had the unbelievable opportunity to fill in for Rush Limbaugh, God rest you, Maha, thank you, Rush, for everything you did for me, I began to hear from people on the East Coast begging me to talk on Rush's program about the death of whales on the East Coast since they put in the windmill farms. And we finally had a couple of people on, citizens, who'd formed an organization for saving whales, who said, we never saw dead whales until the windmills came, these giant, giant fans in the ocean. Now we see dead whales on a regular basis. Now, correlation is not causation. President Trump famously once said about the environment during the wildfires in California, wildfires that are not necessarily man-caused. Many are arson. It has been caused by a refusal to thin the forest because they want to pretend that thinning the forest is bad. It's an easy way to have performative politics. We won't cut down these trees, nor will we let fire burn them down. We'll prevent that. Well, yeah, up to a point until the dry tinders so much that you can't prevent it. President Trump was talking in a very Trumpian way. You know, these fires are very dangerous. A lot of people say it's the most dangerous. And these trees, they explode. They explode, and our first responders, they get exploding trees. And when I'm president, a lot of people say I'll be the best environmental president. I love the earth more than anybody. In that statement, he talked about exploding trees. And the media went nuts. President Trump says, Trump claims without evidence that trees explode. You know who knows that? Firefighters. There are certain trees in California and elsewhere that when they get hot, they explode, and it's like shrapnel. Firefighters in California train for this. The Mockingbird media says President Trump lied to Joe Rogan about whales and windmills.
1,000%, that is the boat. Let's bring it to a dead stop.
I saw another whale had washed up. It's becoming a pattern. Is it the windmills? Is it the pounding of the seafloor? How many whales is it going to take?
There aren't many places where the North Atlantic right whale can go. It's destined to extinction.
It sounds like they're like it's like pile driving.
What the United States is looking at is thousands of wind turbines in an area that our whales, our dolphins, our marine life, where they live, where they migrate, where they breed.
It's only when they started going into the wind lease areas that we believe that the whales are dying.
So those red dots are whale deaths.
Precisely.
What a scandal.
There is a full-length documentary about this. And it makes a very, very strong case that it is the windmills that are killing the whales. Michael Schellenberger, great reporter who has fought bravely against the censorship industrial complex, helped put this together. And President Trump was not lying. But notice this, the Mockingbird media, the same ones that said, safest, most secure election in history, Trump claims without evidence there was signs of vote fraud. President Trump working with Putin. President Trump claims without evidence that the Hunter Biden laptop story is real, when in fact intelligence services tell us it has all the hallmarks of Russian propaganda. President Trump said at a rally that Liz Cheney should be taken out in handcuffs, marched up against the wall, placed there, and then shot in an execution. Who would Jesus back? The party that suddenly turned against whales. Because Orange Man bad? When you're making your decision, I hope you use the Bible as a voting guide, starting with, you shall not lie. I'm not here to say that President Trump always tells the truth. I'm here to ask you to take in the totality of the Bible and the totality of the actions of these two candidates as you make your decision. And it will be yours. We don't do endorsements here. We're not allowed to do that here. So you have a lot of wise people way up high above us. Sometimes it's really tempting to want to see them knocked down, but God has them there for a purpose. And on this show, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents the Tower of Babbling.
What else do we know about this population, 18 through 24? They are stupid. That is why we put them in dormitories. And they have a resident assistant. They make really bad decisions.
It's so funny, that clip, just to know the rest of it. At a later time, Kamala Harris was speaking before such young people and said, "You guys are so smart. I love this generation because you're going to make better decisions than we did." She said, laughing, because she laughs joyfully, as you know. Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling, almost always three sound bites. The White House spokeslayer seemingly admits Joe Biden was reading that Trump supporters are garbage remarks.
Was the president reading from a script?
A couple of things. I'm not going to get into specific here. It's not unusual for a president or the vice president or any elected official to have notes in front of them when they're speaking to a crowd or to a group of people. That is not unusual.
That wasn't the question, of course. She chose not to answer it. If you watch the video of figurehead Biden, as he says, the only garbage I see are his supporters, and the White House trying to pretend through changing of the transcript that Joe Biden said supporters apostrophe S. No, the only garbage I see are being left around by his supporters. That's not what he said. If you watch that video, and I watched it up close, and the first time I saw it, I said, wait a minute, he's reading. I'm watching his eyes go left to right. This man is reading this. The fact that that was written down says something. Jesus is, if Jesus were still choosing to walk the earth, he would vote. And he tells us to steward what we've been given. How would he feel about statements like that and then going back and pretending they didn't happen? Soundbite number two in today's Tower Babbling. The White House spokeslayer says Kamala defends figurehead Biden, apparently reading a statement calling Trump supporters garbage.
Vice President is facing questions about his comments today. So does the president regret at all the distraction this is causing from her campaign in these final days?
Here's what I'll say. Yes, the vice president spoke to this, and she said herself that the president clarified these statements.
She clarified them? Oh. So she was in his, maybe she wrote this stuff. I mean, it has all the gravitas of a Kamala Harris statement. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. ABC asked Kamala Harris a simple question about the garbage comment. Just guess what happened next.
You are promising to bring people together, even people you disagree with. You say, well, have a seat at the table. How do you convince Trump supporters of that, though, when you're calling their candidate a would-be dictator, a petty tyrant?
I am talking to everyone as an American.
Some Americans are garbage and some aren't, in other words. But I'm talking to everyone as an American. Remember, she's a prosecutor, a trained lawyer. That's a sound. That is a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
Man, am I about to strip myself of a shred of respectability. Ready? On a personal note today, my daughter just floored me by bringing back a memory. It was a really great night. We had Halloween together. She cooked incredible food. She's such a talented vegan cook, and I like her vegan food. There's vegan food I like. I'm not a vegan, but great vegan food. She cooked carameled apples, made the caramel from scratch. She cooked a vegan lasagna. So much incredible food. We had a great time remembering. And we are aware that Halloween can be seen as a pagan holiday, and it probably is. So we really concentrate on the Lord Jesus, and we remind ourselves, hey, let's be careful. Spirits love this stuff. Let's say God bless to the kids. Jesus loves you. She said, Dad, someone flipped me off and yelled at me the other day. I said, oh, gosh, when you were walking the dog? She goes, no, when I was driving. And I cried. Yeah, that's hard. I'm glad you're okay. She goes, I remember you honking at people sometimes. Yes. You're right. I did that. You're right. I used to have a real anger problem. You're right. Where does Satan get at you? He gets at me a lot in the car. The more stress I'm under in ancillary ways, as I've been wrestling with God, I've allowed myself to be put under a lot of stress. I incurred it on myself by not just surrendering to God. But she reminded me of a time that was particularly awful. I was under a huge amount of stress to take her to Seattle to have a follow-up thing, and we were going through the mental health crisis. It was just, I didn't want her anywhere near Seattle. And I pulled into a gas station, and a young woman refused to move her car. All she had to do was back up, and I could fill my truck with gas, but she refused to back up. The other pumps were full, and still she refused to back up. So I rolled down the window, and I yelled at her, back up the stinking car. She got out of her car. She walked to me and began to cry. I rolled down my window. I said, what? She goes, sir, I don't know how to back up. Oh, dear God in heaven, I am so sorry. I'm sorry. If you feel safe, will you tell me your name? Cassie. Oh, Cassie, I am so sorry, dear. I'm horrible. Please, God, forgive me. She goes, I forgive you. I'm afraid. I'll move my truck, honey. You'll lose the spot. I don't care. I'm moving my truck. Thank you, sir. Cassie, please forgive me. I forgive you, sir. Man, we got to be careful. The tongue. Speaking of the tongue, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Till the Lord gives us the opportunity to speak again together, may His peace, which surpasses all understanding, wash over you as you go about making disciples of all nations. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.